Welcome to the 360 Leadership Podcast, the top-rated show for driven women in senior leadership, with new episodes released every Wednesday. I'm your host, Lucy Gernon, a multi-award-winning executive coach for women leaders and the founder of 360 Leaders Club, an exclusive high-level membership for career-driven, family-orientated women just like you. I created the 360 Leadership Podcast to share practical tips, actionable step-by-step strategies, and inspiring stories to support you to unlock the power and belief within, to accelerate your impact and potential so you can build a life filled with success, balance, and happiness. So are you ready to achieve 360 degree success? No more excuses, no more waiting. Your time is now. Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of the 360 Leadership Podcast. I really hope that you are doing so, so good today. And I just want you to know that this week is International Women's Day week. And today we are going to be talking all about five ways to achieve true inclusion for women in the workplace. Now, I'm going to preface this episode with the fact that I used to cringe at these things. I've probably told you guys before, because I never saw myself as different to a man. I never saw myself as being less powerful or more powerful. I always viewed myself as equal. And that is a lot of my upbringing from my mother. I was kind of raised, you know, to be in control and to make sure I was seen and heard. But not everybody feels that way. And also, despite any woman who is strong, there is still a lot of gender stereotyping going on, and there's still a lot of unconscious bias when it comes to women. Now, I am so pleased that that is changing. The world has changed so rapidly, and thanks to the work of International Women's Day and coaches like myself who are advocating for women and all of those good things, things are starting to change. Plus, women are just stepping up and really rising. So I commend you. I commend you all. I love each and every one of you guys so much. I know how much crap you have to face on a daily basis. And I want you to really, really feel seen and heard. So today what we're going to be talking about is what is all about the theme for this month's or this week's episode, this International Women's Day, which is all about inspiring inclusion. And I'm going to be giving you some strategies that if you're a male listener listening in, you are very, very welcome. Equally, if you're a female, which most of you are, these strategies apply to you as a female leader as well, because even as women, we can have unconscious biases against each other too. So it's really important to shine a light in those and become aware of your own biases when it comes to inclusion of women. Now, again, I'm going to preface this with, you know, one of my company values and one of my own personal values is inclusion, because I remember when I was 10 years old, not being invited to a birthday party because one of my best friends and I had a little argument. And I remember I was absolutely devastated. And I remember, like, she told me she was going to drop an invitation to my house. And we had had a little argument in school over something. And she didn't drop an invitation. But what was worse is that she was telling everybody how she was going to come to the estate where I was living. And around 2 o'clock, I still remember this so vividly. And I was going, oh my God, I'm going to get an invitation. And I was stuck to the window. You know, when you're a kid and you're so excited to go to a birthday party. And I saw her car drive by my house. Like, her house was kind of down here a little. And I remember looking out the window, kind of like, is that her car? And it was. And then I saw her car drive out of the estate I lived in. And I didn't get an invitation. And I just remember, like, in that moment, I was like, I am never, ever going to exclude anybody. And to my detriment, that's kind of how I operate my life. So when I saw Inspire Inclusion was this year's theme, I thought it was a no-brainer to come on and talk about it on the podcast. So let's talk about inclusion at work specifically, okay? If you're listening to this show, you are most likely in corporate leadership, be that male or female. So, you know, we talk a lot about culture in organizations and how the culture is created from the top down. But there's also cultures within every department. There's microcultures within every meeting you're in, depending on the stakeholders who are in that meeting, right? So I think it's really important to get clear yourself, first of all, on how you want to lead and to be the leader that you wish you had. So most of us look to maybe our bosses or other leaders, and you know, maybe the top, the CEO, and they're not a great CEO and they don't instill the right values that align with your values, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's really, really important that you remember you can be the change. You can be the change. And when you change, actually, you can create this magical ripple effect all around you. So the theme of International Women's Day, Inspire Inclusion, let's talk about it. So the aim of this campaign is to collectively forge a more inclusive world for women. So not just in the corporate world, but obviously this is an international thing for every woman in the world. And creating an inclusive workplace that embraces diversity and empowers women to thrive starts with individual actions and collective efforts. So we can't do it alone. But if we want things to continue to change, we've got to take action. So on the website for International Women's Day, they give some good examples. So when women aren't present, we need to ask, why not? So if you're in a meeting and it's full of male stakeholders, you need to ask, like, why do we not have more women in this room? Because we want to have that diversity, right? We know that companies who have more women at the top actually generate more revenue. So it's not just about all women running the show. It's actually about diversity in leadership. So that's an aside, but I think it's really important that if you see that and you're constantly in an environment where it's male, you need to start calling it out in a respectful way. You know, that's probably going to align to your company's DE&I agenda and their initiative to call that out and to have the courage to do so. Secondly, then they say if women are discriminated against, you must call out bad, poor practice. So if you see somebody being discriminated against for not getting a promotion because they're just about to go out on maternity leave, but they've worked their ass off for you for a couple of years and they're a star performer, you've got to think strategically long term. It's not about the quick win now. You'll find somebody. But those employers who are inclusive and really recognize women, especially when they're at their most vulnerable, are the ones who are rated as the best employers in the world for a reason. Okay. The other thing they say is when treatment of women is not equitable, we must take action and we must do this each and every time. So a lot of the time we think the powers that be, we talk about the powers that be. They control the shots, right? They're moving the agendas. They're deciding on the policies. But actually, change comes from within organizations and you have so much more influence than you will ever know. You have the influence to infiltrate up, I like to call it, instead of, you know, expecting them to set everything if you're not at that, you know, CEO level. It's up to you to be able to influence those things too. So now I want to give you five tangible ways, little actions you can take to make your workplace more welcoming and more supportive for women. And this is actually applicable for both men and women. So like I said already, I'm not really, as much as I'm an advocate for women and inclusion, I'm a real advocate for inclusion for everybody. It's about like equality. It's about us, like by the time I leave this planet, this is an exciting ad about a course for anyone who wants to build visibility in the press and stand out as an expert in their field. Quick Media Wins is a course created by renowned journalist Bianca Barrett, which I personally took, helping me secure my first Forbes feature. It is absolutely jam-packed full of techniques and tips a PR agency charging thousands a month would use. Imagine if millions or even billions of people knew about you. What would that do for your career? And how much easier would that make things? Whether you're a corporate executive who wants to build visibility and become known on the world stage, or an entrepreneur or coach dreaming of easier sales, unshakable expert status, or dream invites to really cool opportunities, this is the DIY Lifetime Access course where you will master landing quick media coverage in as little as 7 days. And best of all, when you use my special link in the description, you get 25% off using the discount code. So head over to the description, click the link to learn more. I really hope that we're in a place where we're not having this conversation. We're not having conversations about, do we have enough women in leadership? Are women being treated fairly? You know, do we have the work-life balance? Can women really have it all? I really hope that is my mission, that that conversation will be over. But you have got to take action as a collective in order to make this happen, okay? Excuse me. So the first thing you can do, very simply, is adopt inclusive language. Sounds basic, but to use gender-neutral language and avoid stereotypes that, you know, activate those gender biases. So instead of saying things like, oh, we need more manpower, don't have the manpower, use the phrase resources or team members. So again, those phrases like, you know, manpower or fireman or postman, all those things, they are historical stereotypes that we need to start to get rid of. And the only way we get rid of them is by starting to consciously be aware of our language, okay? Or talking about, you know, the word he comes up a lot, or the man, or, you know, that kind of thing. We need to just start, stop labeling man, woman, and let's just think about it more as people, okay? The second thing is to actively listen and promote diverse perspectives. So encourage the females on your team to share their ideas and their perspectives without interrupting or dismissing them. Now, this is really important. So many women lack confidence relative to our male counterparts. Okay. It's statistically been proven that women struggle more with imposter syndrome and self-belief issues than our male counterparts. It's just a cultural thing that we're in the middle of changing. So you've got to be really aware that there's people on your team who don't have confidence and who are worrying, maybe just like you are, about how they're being viewed and is their opinion valid and do they have enough to add, and you know, they want to be seen as being articulate and all of those things that you may be feeling. There's people on your team who are feeling the same way too. So make a conscious point this week. My invitation for you is to really be including those women on your team who maybe you haven't listened to so much in the past, because we want to make sure that women at all levels feel seen and heard. So you do this by actively listening to their contributions. And what active listening means is closing down the laptop, not fidgeting, turning off the phone, making a point of even putting it face down, like making a statement about it, maintaining eye contact, turning your body language towards the person, and listening with the intent to understand, not with the intent to reply and get your point across. Okay. Super, super, super important. And ask questions then to further understand. So nothing says I see you and I'm listening than asking thought-provoking questions. Use their exact language where possible, not your interpretation. Big mistake I see is people say, oh, so what I think you mean is this. No, that's not what they said. Reflect back their language and then ask questions to probe out, I suppose, to get a deeper understanding of the meaning. So they still give you their language, because when we give others our language, we're completely and utterly discounting what they just said. Okay. Super, super, super important. And it's important that you just are aware that you want to give women on your team and women in your organization the same opportunities to lead and contribute as their male counterparts. Women are not always the loudest voices in the room. But actually, it's not always he who shouts the loudest. There's a gender stereotype straight away, right? See, I just said it and I copped it. It's not he who shouts the loudest. It's now they who shout the loudest, or the person that shouts the loudest, right? Let's just start to change those narratives. But anyway, I digress. Sometimes the people who don't speak, not sometimes, the people who are quiet and who do most listening actually have the most gold to share. So give them an opportunity, create a safe space where it's safe for them to speak up without the fear of getting it wrong, without the fear of judgment, without the fear of feeling rejected. So, so important. The fourth thing then you can do is to challenge gender biases and stereotypes. So recognize and challenge unconscious biases that might hinder women's advancement, and call out these, any microaggressions or anything that you see. And, you know, you want to promote a culture of respectful dialogue where behavior like that is just not tolerated. So if you hear somebody say, oh, she couldn't do that, or we let the boys to do that, that's a man's job. Okay. If you work in, I don't know, manufacturing or something, challenge it and say, well, why not have a diverse group? Or we can't give her that job, as she'll probably want to have a baby and go out on maternity leave or whatever it is. Challenge that one, like I said, and really be aware of your own and others' biases and make sure that you're just challenging it, because with challenge comes change, and change starts with you. Okay. It starts with me and it starts with you. So actually, that just made me realize that actually I had a great guest on my show there a while back, episode number 63, Michelle Toner, who is a senior leader in AIR and a big DE&I advocate. So if you look, search for episode 63, addressing gender inequality in business with Michelle Toner, I think you'll find some real gold in there. She shares lots of strategies that they implement at AIR. And they were the first company to publish the gender pay gap report before it was even a thing. So they take gender equality very, very seriously. So definitely check out episode number 63. And then the other thing you can do is really, obviously, to be supportive of career development. So that's the fourth thing, is we want to be supportive of women's career development. So encourage your women to participate in training and development opportunities, to push themselves out of their comfort zone and instill confidence in them that they can do it, and to allow them the space to take on challenging projects and pursue those more senior leadership roles. But you've got to provide the right amount of support. So I know you have a very busy job. I know leadership is so tough, but if you're a true leader, you're not in the weeds. You are leading. Okay. You're less doing and more leading. So this is where you should be spending some of your time. Okay. Is providing mentorship and sponsorship to help them navigate their career. So that might be encouraging them to find a mentor within your organization. I've talked about this tons of times, either formally or informally. It might be, you know, send them on a training course for confidence, for example. So, for example, I have a corporate program I'm rolling out right now called the Leadership Career Accelerator, and it's a 6-week program where I'm taking women through lots of things on advocating for themselves and carving their own career path, all about their personal brand, building confidence and all of that good stuff. And I'm so pleased with how it's going, because it's so, so important. This work is so, so important, because you can have all the brains in the world, but if you don't have the softer or the people skills or the confidence to execute, well, you're not going to reach your potential, right? So I think it's super important that you invest in your female talent from a young age, like from a younger, when I say young age, sorry, I'm being biased. Ageist, but the more junior members too. So maybe those managers who are frontline managers who are just starting, they're so important to catch. That's one thing I'm so grateful for. When I first started out in management, I was sent on a course to the Irish Management Institute, which changed the game for me. I really learned so much, which I teach now myself, and it was a game changer. And equally, I've seen people put into their first managerial roles who've never received any people management or leadership training, and they are stressed to the eyeballs. The team are not performing and so on. Like, a technical ability does not equal a people ability. It's a skill that you need to teach. So obviously, if you're interested in learning more about how I can support your organization in that space, you can reach out to me. I will pop the contact details below here. And I think as well, what's really important just in that space is just to remember that many little women as little girls were brought up to be seen and not heard, not to be too boastful, not to challenge authority and so on and so forth. And things have changed a lot, but we're still living in a hangover from that culture. So make sure you're giving them the response, the support that they need, and allow them to show their strengths. And then finally, the fifth tip I would give you on how to be more inclusive of women in your workplace, and this is the big one, is to create a work-life balance culture. So you might have heard my episode with my amazing client, Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne, if you're listening to the podcast. I will link her episode in the show notes on how she overcame burnout. So if you just, I don't know the episode number offhand, I will pop it in the show notes below. But even if you just go on to my podcast page on my website and type in Suzanne, you'll find her. Or I'm sure if you Google the 360 Leadership Podcast, Suzanne Sheridan, you'll find the episode. or just click the show notes. And in that episode, you know, Suzanne is at a VP level in a big organization, and we worked together to support her to overcome burnout. She had very poor work-life balance, and she has maintained work-life balance now for well over a year in a massive way. She has gone from working 70-hour weeks to running marathons, like traveling the world, empowering her team, you know, doubling down on her leadership and all that. So go check out that episode. But the reason I share that is because Suzanne, as the leader, is now modeling a behavior of work-life balance. It gives her team permission to do it too. So if you're the kind of person and you're a workaholic and you're working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, your team are going to feel pressure to do that too. And I hear this over and over and over again. I can't log off. My boss is a workaholic. What are they going to think if I'm not online? So if you're not there yet in terms of, you know, curbing your own hours, at least set the expectation with your team that you value their life outside work. Because what's the point in working your ass off all the time if you have no time to enjoy it? And what's worse is that you hold so much power over the women in your organization in terms of how their lives are being lived, how their children feel, how healthy they are. Like, you have a lot of influence over that, not by choice, but it's a fact. So choose to use your power and your influence for good and create a culture of work-life balance, because it is a problem for women. So allow them flexible working arrangements, allow them remote work, compressed work weeks. Again, I was doing a 4-day compressed work week before it was a thing, because I had to set boundaries around my life and what was going to work for me. And it was very, very difficult for me to do that at the time. But I had to think about my family, and when it was affecting my family and I never got to collect my kids from school and I was constantly working, I knew something needed to change. And what's even better that I want you to remember about a condensed work week is that when you know you're working a 4-day week, trust me, you are working your ass off in productivity. You're not going to be losing out. It's not about hours worked. Oh my God, if you're multitasking, come back to me. It's not about the hours your team work. It's about the results they produce. So I'm going to say that again. It's not about the hours your team work. It's about the results they produce. And it's up to you to set the tone as a leader, or in terms of what results do you want them to produce? Getting yourself organized, right? These are the tangible goals we're working towards. And then allow them to celebrate and allow them a little bit of breathing space if they meet them. It's not about the 40-hour a week. It's really not. There's just no need for it anymore. But anyway, that's a totally separate conversation that gets me super fired up. So in summary, I think I've gone through all of them. I'm just going to quickly share again. 5 ways that you can achieve true inclusion for women at work, and there's lots more. Number one, we talked about adopting inclusive language. So instead of saying manpower, we might say things like resources or team members, changing those old quotes like he who shouts the loudest to the person who shouts the loudest, things like that. Number two, actively listening, making women feel seen and heard, encouraging them to speak up, to share their perspectives. Number three then is to challenge those gender biases and stereotypes when you see them and call them out. Challenge it, because we need to get to a place where women feel included, because we all deserve to feel seen and heard. The next one then is to be supportive of your women's career development. So again, providing them opportunities for growth, getting them involved in mentorship within your company, getting them coaching if necessary, if they have big confidence blocks, for sure. Private coaching is brilliant for that. Obviously, I spoke about the program I run for women leaders as well. So if you want to know about that, absolutely, please reach out to me. The details will be below here in the show notes. And then finally, create a work-life balance culture by you leading by example. Allow that flexible working. Like, this whole thing about everyone has to be back in the office 5 days a week. Guys, do we really have to go back there? Like, I lead my team entirely virtually. I have team in the UK, in the Philippines, in Portugal, in Spain, in Ireland. They're all over the place. I have clients all over the world, and I manage to work it remotely. I'm not saying that you should have your entire team remote, because that is a challenge, I'm not going to lie. but I can run a pretty successful business by doing it remotely, and you can too if you get yourself organized and structured. Okay. So if you found this episode valuable, I would really, really appreciate if you would share it with other leaders, either male or female, in your organization. I want to get this message out about what it really means to include women and why it's so bloody important, because it is so important. So literally just wherever you're watching, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts right now or you're listening on Spotify, literally just grab the link, share it, pop into your work WhatsApp group, or stick it in an email and send it out to your people managers list or your leadership team list, and encourage them to listen to this episode. Because together, the more people who know about this and have even small tools and tactics like I've shared today, we're going to make a big difference. And so I'd love to hear from you. Like, what do you do in your organization to promote gender equality? How do you ensure that women are included and are given the support that they need? I'd love to hear from you. And I'm going to be popping a post on Instagram and on LinkedIn for this podcast. So if you see it, please answer the question. Like, I'd love to hear from you. What strategies do you use? Because then other people who are reading the comments will be able to learn from you too, because there's so many little innovative ways we can do this together. So that's it for this week's episode. I hope you found it valuable. Until next time, you take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you then.